finally gave up and resigned himself to his fate. Sometime during the night, as he felt his body becoming numb, he began to scribble some sentences on the wall of the car. Sentences recording some of his last sensations as he moved closer and closer to death. The first sentence said, "I'm becoming colder." The second sentence, a little bit further down, said, "Still colder. Nothing to do but wait." Then it said, "I'm slowly freezing to death. Half asleep now, I can hardly write." And then down at the bottom, this sentence which said, "These may be my last words," which in fact they were. When the railroad car was opened the following day, they found him dead. But let me tell you something that's really startling about this story. The freezing apparatus on the car had been malfunctioning. It had not been operating properly for several days. And believe it or not, the temperature hadn't gotten below 49 degrees during the entire night that he was there. In other words, this man had become the victim of his own illusion. He had presumed that his time had come and his life was over, when in fact there was no need of that presumption at all. And so, even though the temperature had never fallen below 49 degrees, this man died nevertheless and isn't here to enjoy himself today. Neves went on to point out, he said, there's a lot of us that do that with our lives, aren't there? We misread the signs of our predicaments. We presume that things are worse than they really are. And so, like that man, we too become the victim of our own illusion. We die, if you will, even though the temperature of our circumstance never even gets close to freezing. Now, you see, this man used his reasoning factor, and he used it incorrectly. He let what he thought were circumstances control his thinking. That's the image he put in, and that's exactly what he got. Do you think maybe that that's what Moses was talking about when he talked about that reasoning factor, when he said, "Behold, today I lay before you both a blessing and a curse"? Now, I'm going to give you an example of someone that used it the other way. Many years ago, I made a sales call in Chicago when I first started to do seminars in the United States on a gentleman named Mel Haycraft. Mel Haycraft was the vice president of sales to the Prudential Insurance Company in their Mid-America region. Now, I did not know it at the time, but the Prudential Insurance Company was the number one company in the world, and the Mid-America region was the number one region in the Prudential Insurance Company out of 10 different regions. So needless to say, I was talking to a heavyweight when it comes to business. I was only in his office a few minutes, and Mel said, "Well, Bob, what is it?" And I said, "Mel, I've got a seminar that'll just get your sales flying." And I'll never forget the smile that had come on his face. And he looked at me, and he pushed his chair back from the desk, and he opened a drawer, and he took a file folder out, and he spun these brochures across the desk. "Did you see all those brochures?" I said, "Yeah." "He's all those people said the same thing." I said, "Is that right?" I said, "Well, we're different." "We" was me at the time. But if you're alone in business, you never refer to me, you see. So at any rate, I said, "We are different. See, I had a brochure made up that made it look like we operated on the entire 12th floor of the Hancock Center," I thought. But at any rate, he looked at me and smiled, and he said, "How are you different?" I said, "We get results." He said, "They all said the same thing." Now, I knew that I wasn't making any headway. If you're in sales, you know when you get to a point like that, you either have to dance or hit the exit. And I wasn't about to leave. I had a hard time getting in to see this man. As a matter of fact, an associate of mine had phoned him every Monday for a year. We couldn't get in to see him. One Monday he was sick. Mel phoned him and asked what was wrong. And that's how we broke down his door. But at any rate, I said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. You give me 100 of your best people. Don't give me the worst, give me the best." I said, "Anyone can do something with the worst. Just give me the best." And I said, "We will do a seminar. Won't cost you a dime. We'll give you the material, give you the seminar." And I said, "Let them be the judge of whether this will help them in their sales." He said, "You got a deal." So we did that seminar. I ran into a chap in Detroit here just a little while ago, Carl Walker, that was in that group of people. I remember Carl sitting in the back row. I'll never forget Carl.